I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Today on the show, we're going to talk about hemp plastics, and what are we really talking about when we talk about hemp plastic? Let's be honest, we're talking about garbage, because plastic makes up not only the bulk of our garbage that we throw away, but it also sticks around longer than just about anything we throw away. And today on the show, I'm going to talk to a guy named Jordan Hinshaw. He's the CEO of Green Tech Plastics, and he is working on incorporating hemp plastic into some very simple, everyday things that we use, single-use plastics like containers and utensils. It's an awesome conversation, and this is the kind of guy that's really going to change things, and I'm so excited for you to hear from him. But before we get into that, I want to let you know that we are once again partnered with Canvas 1839. They're centered out of Austin, Texas. They're buddies of ours, and they are a fantastic CBD brand. You guys are constantly hitting us up and asking us, who can I trust? Who should I buy from? Canvas is one of those companies that is doing it right, and we are super proud to partner with them. Later on the show, I'm going to tell you how you can get 15% off your first order from canvasrelief.com. Huge thanks to Canvas for partnering with us. Before we get into the interview real quick, a lot of people have been contacting both the site and me asking about pre-rolls, about smokable hemp. And we've got a fantastic article up at ministryofhemp.com right now. And it's all about the companies that are doing it right, from growing their hemp to drying it to putting it into their pre-rolls. So you know exactly what you're getting and exactly what it's supposed to be doing. Now, we're not going to tell you that smoking is healthier. There's no dangers to smoking. Yes, if you're inhaling smoke, you're doing something that is not great for your lungs. But if you're doing it in limited amounts to help with pain, appetite, anxiety, things that CBD really can help, there are very quick benefits to smoking hemp. But if you are going to smoke hemp, of course, we want you to do it with caution and in moderation. I'll have a link to this article in the show notes for this episode. I've tried a few myself, and I have to say, I really like smokable hemp. But again, only in moderation. My conversation today is with Jordan Hinshaw. He's the CEO of Green Tech Packaging, and Jordan is awesome. As you'll hear, he came up in the cannabis industry and saw a real chance for hemp to become a plastic substitute that could literally change the world. Green Tech is a manufacturing company out of the South Bay in Long Beach. They emphasize community improvement and sustainable economics. You're going to hear him talk about responsibility before profit, and I cannot stress how important and cool their mission is. This is my conversation with Jordan Hinshaw of Green Tech Packaging. Jordan, before we get into it, why don't you tell me what makes a guy like you decide, hey, I want to open a company that not only is dealing with hemp in a time where it's still pretty Wild West and scary, but I want to take on the plastics company and show people that we can make the same stuff out of hemp. Where did this come from? How does this start?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was kind of organic, you know, no pun intended. The idea was floating around in the, you know, in Long Beach and in the cannabis space for some time, that you have all this raw material that's not being used and new advances in technology. So, you know, I just wanted to be part of that, the forefront of that push, and, you know, saw it as a purpose over, profits, you know, coming out of, you know, my previous career where I was, you know, well paid for what I was doing and enjoyed it, but, just didn't feel like I was like making an impact in a larger, you know, industrial way. So, luckily I had the background of, you know, engineering, you know, I was a Cal Poly alumni, where I studied mechanical engineering, and Cal State East Bay alumni, where I was doing industrial engineering studies in the off seasons in the on their quarter system before that evaporated. So, you know, I felt like it was kind of a nexus point for my skill sets and my interests.
So what drew you specifically to the cannabis? I mean, were you working in that? Like, I mean, because cannabis obviously has been legal in California for quite a while, or did you just notice like, hey, there's a real there's a real business here and a real opportunity that people aren't seizing on. Was it just that simple?
A bit of both. So I've been well integrated. I mean, like you said, California has been legal for some time in the cannabis space. And, you know, I myself am a member of the Long Beach Collective Association, or at least as is our company. Had done some work with, I've kind of worked through the supply chain of cannabis a bit, more on the logistics side and fulfillment, even down to, being able to go to the fields and see how they operate and do, that side of the business since I was, I'm 30 now. So that's, about a decade ago when that kind of started. So,
wow.
It was just kind of the tinklings of, of someone who's interested in that space and understands and respects that, it's more than just psychoactives times. There's actual industry and innovation going on.
So tell me about Green Tech. You guys, how did it start? I mean, right now you're moving into the utensils, which is what I found, how I found you. I saw a press release and was like, this is friggin' amazing and exactly the kind of stuff we need to be doing with hemp, you know? How did Green Tech get started? Like, what was the first products?
So the first products were all based on packaging for the cannabis industry. We were prototyping a ton of containers that had, a balance of like rigid aspects with the base and some elastomers that were going to make them airtight and try to offer something that was industrially compostable and made from plant-based matter. We were courting some rather large, pre-roll companies and, like flower companies that were doing units at the 50 or 100,000 per month where it would justify some custom materials that were a bit over, in the luxury range of pricing, but were, environmentally much more beneficial.
Yeah, you're making a statement, definitely. If you're going to do, if you're going to grow this stuff right and you're going to talk about how important it is to farm it and do it the right way, you may as well package it the right way too, right?
Exactly. And they were, that's all feedback from the consumer base. You know, I mean, that's all based on how people in general are moving in that direction. And the companies don't want to be too far behind it. So they're trying to, match solutions with revenue,
So what was the most difficult part? Like when you guys started this and you decided, okay, we want to move into hemp plastics and whatnot. We call it hemp plastics, but there's no petroleum in it. What was the hardest part in developing that kind of stuff? And also getting it to the consumer who's going to buy it and package their stuff. When I say the consumer, the companies, was it difficult to sell them on the idea that like, hey, this is going to be a little more expensive, but look, it does the same job. And not just that, you can throw this away and not feel guilty about it. Was that all it took to sell them on it?
Right. So, if you were able to make it as concise and well put as you did, absolutely.
If you guys are hiring, let me know. I mean, this sounds cool. So,
yeah, very well done. Right. It was a massive undertaking and a supply chain management challenge where, you've got new infrastructures, new machinery that's being placed around the nation.
Right.
Farmers that are just getting into their swing of things in terms of production and specifics of how it comes out. And so it's working with those groups collectively, working with our understanding our own capabilities to be able to offer pricing that is measurable to the value add in their operations.
Right, so, right.
I mean, we've had some swings and misses for sure. We've had some really big players that came to us and asked us to work with them and then kind of got an idea of where the pricing was and was like, well, we're going to hold off a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But we've also had a lot of smaller businesses that are much closer to their consumer that are much more quick to say, we understand the intrinsic value of what you're doing here because the externalities of us continuing to make plastics are outweighing the small pennies that we're saving by using them.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, when you said you had like some bigger companies that came in and they looked at the pricing and obviously they're going off about, bottom line in a case like that, is it just a matter of catching up technology wise to bring that price down? Or is it a matter of more people growing hemp? Is it a matter of more processing, better processing? Like, what do you think pushes that price point down to a point where you can say something like, hey, McDonald's or hey, Walmart, You know, like, don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of health food stores and the Whole Foods and whatnot, but they're not going to change the world at the price point they're selling food at. We're going to change the world by getting this stuff in friggin' Walmart, you know? What do you see as the biggest hurdle to getting that price down? What do you think?
Right. So I think it's mainly the second by comparison of those aspects. You know, scale really is a huge thing, and you have to walk that up. You can't, I mean, it's speculative to guess that everything is going to go perfectly well when you go from selling 100,000 units to 100 million units.
Right.
And so there's a brick by brick aspect of building the industry where, you know, you want traction to grow in an organic manner to a point where you can be confident to say, hey, look, McDonald's, we have this, you know, proven process here. Delivering at this scale would allow us to be price competitive within 10 or 20%.
Yeah.
You know, and have them say, yeah, we see the work you've done. You know, we believe in that enough to, you know, invest and make that switch over without having to deal with all of the, you know, kinks and issues that any expanding business would deal with.
Sure.
On the other side, I mean, yes, supplies, you know, there's actually a glut of material right now. I mean, I think last year industrial hemp acreage increased to about 125,000, you know, acres in the nation.
Yeah.
You know, up from, you know, in the tens of thousands a few years back. And 60+% of that didn't have scheduled offtake. So you've got a lot of material out there that's going to actually push down the price the more of it you use. But you would just need to be organized supply chain wise, where your processing is, you know, within range of where you're doing it, and you're able to, sure, you know, coordinate all the sure pricing so that you can guarantee that, you know, hey, McDonald's, you will have it as we say it will be, you know, for example.
So let me ask you, as far as, like, I was reading the press you guys have coming out, and it sounds like this utensil thing, people are pretty excited about this. I thought it was cool as hell. But take me through it. We don't have to do like the hardcore science or anything, but take me through the process. Like, the hemp comes in and it ends up as plastic. How does that work? Like, that just sounds nuts.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. So essentially, anytime you work with the stalks of the plant, the lignocellulose, you have an opportunity to extract the sugars from it, which, you know, build the starches. And in that process, you're creating the same polymers that are used in petroleum plastics when they make it from, you know, oil, or in a large amount of cases, natural gas. And so,
like,
you know,
literally the same polymers, like, you, no difference.
Similar. I mean, there are differences depending on the formulation that you use. I mean, you know, there's mixes of sugar cane, of cornstarch, of different materials that have different properties, and they tend to you tend to trade off between, you know, sturdiness or, sure, or toughness versus flexibility, which has been a pretty big challenge for a lot of our products, where, you know, the more hemp fiber you have in it, the stronger and lighter weight it is by density, but oftentimes it doesn't have that type of like pop top capability,
right?
That people are often used to.
So basically, you're not using the leaves, you're using the stems, and you're decoordinating them, if you will.
Decorticating. Yes.
Decorticating.
That's a word. If you type in the word, it will never, it will always have a little red squiggly underneath it.
Yeah. I even practiced saying it, and I still got it wrong. That's great. But, but from that point, it comes in as like little pellets, basically, that you're turning it into. And then those pellets, are you literally like melting them into forms from there?
Right. So that's the process, whether by injection or extrusion, in some cases, some compression molding and thermoforming, to heat it to, you know, 190 degrees, 210 to 240, and, you know, press it into extremely heavy tooling, in some cases, you know, 1400 pound steel item that, you know, is water cooled around it, so that once it goes in, it's able to pop out as the perfect shape of, sure, of what you made it designed to be.
Just like you would with plastic, basically, but no petroleum.
Very similar process. Yeah, absolutely. The only difference, obviously, is in processing temperatures and cycle times and aspects that have to do with how the material wears on the tooling, and, you know, so it's not as transferable, where, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, the material dictates how you actually build the tooling. Ours are unique to these types of materials.
So let me ask you, like, differences between this hemp plastic and petroleum plastic. Is it a matter of, like, strength or transparency? Like, what are the major differences? Are there pros, cons? And let's just take the ecology side out of it for a minute and just discuss, like, raw pros and cons of stability, what it looks like, you know, stuff like that.
Right. So the material we've been working with has a really natural color to it, you know, that natural hemp brown. And so transparent items have not been, we've not been able to achieve that aspect. But you can always add color additives that are non-toxic if you so choose to make it, you know, black or brown or you know, blue, whatever other colors that are, you know, optional.
So clear is not really an option yet.
Not in hemp. No. You know, obviously the biomass itself has that natural tinge, and so you'd be hard pressed to try to make that.
It's green, secret. Right? What are you gonna do?
You know? Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but luckily, it's a nice hazelnut color. We've been hazelnut hemp. So
cool.
It's kind of got a nice you know, visual aesthetic to it. So we're not too ashamed of that.
Let's take a quick break to talk about our partner this week, Canvas 1839, centered out of Austin, Texas, which also happens to be the de facto home of Ministry of Hemp because Kit lives there. Canvas strives to make products with the highest efficacy based on proprietary science with the help of their chief science officer and Stanford grad, Dr. Kyle Hamerick's pioneering work in nanoscale biology. Canvas currently offers a relief oil that is crafted with Colorado-grown full-spectrum hemp extract, grown under organic practices to support your well-being in mind and body. Each 1-ounce bottle contains 300 milligrams of CBD, which is 10 milligrams per dropper. Now, they sent me a bottle, and I have to say, normally 10 milligrams of CBD isn't enough for me, but I've really been enjoying it. I've been taking the relief oil in the mornings with my coffee, and I feel like it brings me in for kind of a soft landing as I get to work. I'm focused and I'm awake, but the Canvas relief oil keeps me from my usual ADD morning coffee rush. And it's actually helped with some of the aches and pains that I've been dealing with since I started boxing training again. They also offer a luxurious relief cream that is specifically formulated for optimal transdermal penetration and absorption, which means when you rub it on your skin, it actually goes into your skin. It leaves a very clean skin feel with no residue whatsoever. There's 500 milligrams of CBD in each 2-ounce jar. My wife, who is an aerobics instructor and owns a gym, has been using it, and she loves it. It's become a part of her post-workout shower regime. Canvas is a company that is just doing it right, and that's why we're proud to partner with them. They know they're farmers, they have third-party lab results readily available, and right now, you can get 15% off your order just for being a listener to this show. Head to canvasrelief.com and use the code FRIEND15, and you get 15% off your purchase. I would recommend their starter pack that features the two products they sent me, the relief oil and the relief cream, and both are fantastic. That's FRIEND15, all one word, and of course, I will have a link to canvasrelief.com in the show notes for this episode. Now, back to the show.
Besides that, you know, obviously the heat implications, depending on product thickness, you know, it's designed to allow heat and bacteria to eat away at it.
Right.
So while it, you know, holds up on a shelf just fine for years, you know, if you do apply it to, you know, higher pressure, higher heat environments, it's going to start to soften and in a way that actually no other plastic really does. We did some testing on some basic corn plastics, and they tend to break at a certain temperature.
Yeah, they get real brittle, right?
Change shape, yeah, brittle. Whereas the hemp plastic, actually, it doesn't get brittle. It gets, like, really elastic. It's really flexible.
Really?
And with, you know, yeah, we were testing it out. We dumped it, you know, boiling waters for a period of time. And all we had to do was dip it back in cold water, and it solidified right back into its shape, and we were able to bang it against the table. It was really interesting.
That's cool. Do you think that's a difference in, like, sugar content of the corn versus, like, the hemp, basically?
Yeah, the content of the hemp itself, I mean, the nature of fibers, just their resilience. kind of lends towards that more flexibility under pressure rather than just snapping overall.
Sure. So what about like raw strength of the product itself? How does that compare to like plastic? Is it stronger, the same, not quite as strong? Like, what are we talking?
Strength wise, it's stronger. So, I mean, there's evidence there since, you know, the 40s where they were doing, you know, a Ford, if you ever heard that experiment was putting it in his,
his car and stuff,
walls, right? Of his car, right? Yeah. Ticking hammers. That's actually still been going on. I mean, I believe Mercedes, if not BMW, has a line of doors. You know, they're lining that's no longer carbon fiber; it's hemp fiber. And so,
yeah, I just interviewed those guys actually a couple of weeks ago. So,
very nice.
Yeah.
So you know, essentially, strength is never a trade-off. You're actually increasing your density. So, compared to most plastics of the exact same weight, you're going to have a stronger product for certain. The main differences are more chemical based, where, you know, there's a lot of compatibilizers, additives and such that they add that, you know, often have these toxins and stuff without getting too much into it, that can affect temperature and barrier properties where they're able to resist more caustic environments.
Right.
These are for your lunch at the break room.
Right. And this is stuff that you want to disappear when you throw it away. You don't want it to stick around forever.
Exactly. Now,
speaking of temperature, obviously plastic burns at a certain temperature and it gives off all kinds of caustic fumes and stuff. What about hemp plastic? Does it burn the same? Like, what happens when you apply fire to it?
Right. So, yeah, like you said, with petroleum plastics, and it's a great question, they do emit a lot of, greenhouse gases as they burn up or break down. Carbon dioxide is released as a process of breaking down that's when they say it's carcinogenic, whatever.
Right.
But the hemp itself is more of a plant, is a plant-based matter. So it has that, or has less of a negative impact in that way. But that being said, I have not actually set these on fire on purpose. So
would you be willing to burn something right now?
Right. You know what? That's a great point.
I'm just curious. You know, you start thinking about like the ecology side, which I want to talk about next. Obviously, this stuff isn't meant to be permanent. The idea is this is temporary packaging for a cupcake or your lunch or, you know, something like that. What's the difference if I take, let's say, a hemp packaging that is, you know, like a bag, for example, and I bury it next to a plastic bag in my backyard, or maybe I don't even bury it. I set them outside in my backyard. That plastic bag is going to be there for thousands of years. How long, like what happens to this hemp bag? How long does it take to break down?
Right. So in an aerobic environment like that, where, you know, it's just sitting on top of the ground.
Right. Aerobic meaning air can get to it, right?
Sorry, say again?
Aerobic meaning air can get to it, more or less.
Right. You're still going to be facing, you know, dozens of years where the hemp plastic will hang around because it's actually more about the bacteria and the soil, like the environment itself, that's allowing it to become a food source for the I wouldn't say fauna, but for the environment around it.
So, right.
What you're really looking for is for it to be able to get back into the food chain or the environment of like soil or dirt or in obviously ideally compost.
Yeah.
And if it does get into those environments with ability to break down, then you could be as short as 6 months.
Wow.
See it evaporate. So
that's crazy.
I mean, the trade off there, yeah, is pretty big. And that's why we're really concentrated on pushing this element, because we understand there's a ton of, you know, politicians, a ton of legislation that is looking to solve these problems of getting away from plastics, but that requires development of these composting centers,
right?
Circular economies and production of plant-based materials. So
I can compost. Like, I compost in my backyard right now. I can compost this. If you send me something in hemp plastic, I can take it out, eat it, have a nice little meal, and then throw the scraps, the vegetable scraps, and the bag into my compost, and it'll break down.
Yeah, about half of all the industrial composting centers, they do that on a pretty regular basis. You know, I think it's kind of important that we try to move away from recycling as much as possible. Not move away from it necessarily, but look to materials that are going to provide some alternatives, you know, just for the obvious reason that, for one, you know, a lot of recycling doesn't get done. And then two, you know, these plant-based materials actually are not ideal for recycling. These are designed to be that type of degradable material. So we've got some different experiments going on right now. We've got the D5511, which is an ASTM one, where they're doing it in a backyard compost center. And then there's a few different methods that we're testing out so that we can really get a hard number on exactly how long they'll take. But that's the idea, man. We really want to see higher quality compost going on, and we want to give them the kind of feedstock that makes that possible.
And making a temporary product, like you said, that we don't have to worry about. When you're done with it, you don't have to feel guilty. Speaking of which, let's talk about the utensils. You guys have a big thing coming out right now. You just partnered with British Columbia. Can you name who it is yet, or is this still to keep it under wraps?
Well, we've already been under distribution agreement with them, so it's not necessarily a secret. It's a company called Follow the Leader Distribution.
Okay.
They were really adamant about offering new eco-friendly solutions for packaging in that legal cannabis market there, and have since expanded. And so we wanted to make sure that we sent them what they needed to reach, you know, that market there. I mean, obviously, without overshooting, I'd say that the Canadians are in an advanced awareness state or acceptance state of the challenges of climate change, and are constantly looking to invest and find ways to bring those to fruition. You know, we've got a number of distributors that are spread out, and it happens that two of them are in Canada. You know, one there in BC and a new one that we're working on in Toronto. And so, it's no like secret or anything, but it was encouraging to know that, companies from all around the globe have been reaching out to us to see, you know, hey, what can we do? Which is just ironic in the sense that, you know, we're here in the one of the top economies in the world, and these other countries are saying, hey, you know, let's.
We like to make fun of Canada like they're our little brother, but they typically make us look pretty bad when it comes to stuff like, you know, climate science. It's sad, unfortunately. Now, tell me about the utensils. Like, how did you develop this? You basically, they're like, it's like a fork and a spork and a spoon, but they're made of hemp plastic. And they look, it almost looks like they're made out of wood because of the color you said that they have. And straws as well. Hemp straws. Tell me they're better than paper straws, because paper straws, they're the worst.
Absolutely, yeah. The hemp straws are the big winner, and we're trying to get that prepared for like a much larger scale launch, because we understand. I mean, there's just so many bars, restaurants, places of business that
absolutely coffee
are
shops
looking for an alternative. I mean, you know, in my mom's generation, they were using paper straws, so it's not a revolutionary thing to have them. And nobody liked them then either.
Yeah,
so,
they were garbage.
the idea is, you know, bamboo. I go to the store Cost Plus Goods, and they've got bamboo straws that they're selling for a dollar a unit. You know, we just knew that there was there's got to be a middle ground there between, you know, the paper straws, which are doing a good thing and trying to reduce that. But using hemp as a feedstock, you know, a material that's not neither a crop, food crop, excuse me, nor forestry, further in that paper. So, you know, we've been experimenting with that for the last 6 weeks and trying to get everything on point to break that the hemp straw out. And
that's so cool.
As far as the utensils, I mean, yeah, we just I've got a partner who helps with the CAD design, and try to engineer it based on material specs. And then you get a large EDM machine out, you start cutting steel, man.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, steps and stages, but it's been a fun process for sure.
It's like my wife and I, we have, you know, like those metal straws you can buy, and that's great. Yeah, you're not throwing away plastic, but you are introducing more metal straws that are also made with gnarly, you know, chemicals, and they're going to be around forever. Whereas like the bamboo straw, like you said, great idea. too expensive. It's just too expensive. I mean, and bamboo is amazing, you know, plant, but it doesn't grow as fast as hemp. It's not as cheap and easy to grow, you know? I mean, like, the same thing like with reusable bags and water bottles and stuff like that. It's great. And we should be doing that stuff, but we're also creating an army of bags and water bottles that will be around for the next 100,000 years, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you think the future is for you guys? Where do you go from here? What's next?
Right. So, I mean, you know, it's really interesting that you say that. I think with the reusable bags, there's some stat you got to use them at least 28 times for them to even justify because of the additional industrial, you know, waste or impact.
Right.
From making them and a lot of steels and metals are no different in that way.
Yeah.
And that's the idea is that like we believe that, you know, hemp itself is that carbon neutral solution. So, I mean, obviously, as it grows, especially purpose grown for fiber, it absorbs more carbon from the atmosphere than any other crop.
Absolutely.
So, what you're finding is that by growing it and then using it in manufacturing processes, which often in bioplastics already have lower emissions, you're striking a sustainable supply chain. And so, I mean, that's kind of what we're focused on, right? We're trying to say, listen, it's not just about the actual bioplastic result and the fact that it's better at the end of life. It's about the entire chain and how we're using our domestic economy to its fullest, our own, you know, agricultural resources to develop products, innovate in those products, and become more, you know, independent as a nation, you know, creating jobs, all that. So that's kind of our focus. I mean, we're you know, we've got some different pilot programs for some technology to be developed that's going to make it as cost competitive as possible. But we just understand that it's an invigorating leg up for America. So I mean, that's kind of where we see ourselves going.
How far away am I from plastic, from hemp plastic bags in my grocery store? What am I talking? 5 years, 15 years? What do you think?
I think certainly within 5 years, I think you can see that. Awesome. I mean, I know there's there are some groups that are already trying to develop some blown film options with that. You know, again, I think it's going to be a matter of which companies buy in, you know, to lock in those kind of purchase orders and justify those supply chains first. But I think, yeah, within the next five years, you're going to see some options that are along those lines. If it took 10, then it was a policy problem. It was something to do with you know, our leadership not invigorating and pushing for these type of things. But, no, there's some cool stuff coming down the wire.
That's cool to hear you say that though, because like just to hear someone that's in the industry say like, yeah, we can do this and it is going to take a few years, but it's not going to take 10 years. We're learning, we're kicking ass here. And it's more a manner of don't hold us back than it is, you know, we need to come up with brand new technology and you know, this, the future we're talking about. I'm really happy to hear you say that. Let me ask you, what is the one plastic product that you are most excited about replacing with hemp plastics that you think makes the biggest difference in the world?
The biggest difference in the world. Well, let's start from top down. If you look at, you know, 50% of all plastics that are made, those are usually single use. So, I mean, you're really talking about these subscription food boxes, these to-go boxes and takeout.
Yes.
You know, you're looking at things that are consumed in the pounds per day per person. Mm-hmm. That really would impact the waste that's gathering up in the middle of the Pacific Ocean right now.
Totally.
So, I mean, some of the most common ones are medical containers, you know, pharmaceuticals and such that really could be made from bioplastic materials and are shipping out again all around the world. And when I, you know, being here in Long Beach, when I go to the beach, which I love my city, but it's not one of the cleanest beaches by far.
I've been there. I know what you mean.
that's what you find.
Yeah. And plenty of hypodermic needles and pill boxes and stuff, you know, unfortunately.
Pretty, man. Yeah, it doesn't make me happy.
No.
But yeah, so those are some of the things that, you know, I think if those were integrated from renewable resources, you'd have a real acknowledgeable impact in plastic waste.
Making a real change you're absolutely right. It's those that crap that we don't think about that we use every day. the container for your pills, the container your lunch came in, and stuff like that. And man, how far off do you think we are from developing a clear plastic? Is that out of the question, or is it just a matter of like, hey, we'll figure it out. It's coming.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's material sources. When you're talking about bioplastics in general, there's a lot of options. I mean, you know, from the material for tapioca all the way to, you know, sugar cane. And right. obviously, and now they've got some mycelium with mushrooms yeah. and different options.
You that's know? I mean, that's really cool, too. They're doing a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, we've been wanting to work with them for some time. They're so overwhelmed with demand themselves that you got to go down there and knock on their door in person.
I'm sure. That's a good problem to have, though. That means they're busy. That means they're kicking ass, you know, hopefully.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's a product that people want, and it's a classy product. You know, it's a really nice-looking final product. But no, my point just being that, I mean, is that technology coming? Yes. Is it something in the immediate future? I don't think so. I mean, if you choose to do it with some of the older materials. I mean, obviously, bioplastics have been around for much longer than you'd imagine.
Right.
There are, when you don't involve the hemp itself, you can find some clearer plastics. I mean, I think World Centric makes some clear bioplastics, although I'm not sure exactly what their formulation is in terms of, petrol, corn, whatever the balance may be.
But you're saying there's no reason why they couldn't be a combination of two things. You have your hemp plastic thing on the bottom, and then on top, maybe you have a mycelium plastic or some other type of bioplastic.
Exactly. Yeah. And so again, it's just going from right now, I think 1% of all plastics are made from biorenewable resources. So it's going from that to an increasing margin, increasing part of the market,
right?
Where you're going to find those type of combinations and solutions,
you know,
more prevalent.
I ask because I was a chef for a long time and working in kitchens, clear plastics. I mean, we literally go through tons of that stuff and you got to be able to see what's in it. So when you're in a hurry, you open it up and there's a bag, it's labeled that, and you can see it's perfectly good. Well, just grab it and go. And when that bag is empty, you can't reuse it because health code won't even let you, you know, that's against the law. You have to throw that crap away. And every time I did it, it just felt gross. Every time you wrapped something in cling wrap, every time you threw something in a freezer bag, you know, and you thawed it out and then you just throw it away. It's perfectly good. It's going to be around for the next 50,000 years, you know, but you can't use it again. And that's the kind of stuff where that's another, that single use, you know, plastics, if we can start to replace that.
And that's what, you know, the overarching, I mean, Green Tech Packaging, obviously we focus on the division of manufacturing these products, developing them and providing them for the market. But, you know, in reality, Green Tech Planet was like, well, let's combine those different resources. Like, for example, with the cellophanes, you've got some seaweed aspects there that are moving towards, you know, making these thinner, more clear or see-through materials. Those are going to be the type of advances that cover a lot of the more unseen or low weight solutions for the bags and the options that you're talking about.
Right.
I think that's really where the pendulum is going to need to swing to see those, you know, turtle suffocating items not end up in the cycle. So, you know, again, I'm not sure to what level or what advancement specifically is going to turn that tide, but I know that we are a part of the group that's pushing for that. So certainly. So, I mean, obviously it's been a great opportunity to chat with you and you know, I'm thankful that we did connect. You know, we've been doing a lot in terms of, you know, outreach and understanding that, while some of the larger companies are going to be challenges to knock the door of, it's a grassroots movement. It's the people behind this that really make this a viable objective. And so, as far as you know, plugging us, I'd say come reach out if you guys are interested. If anybody has any custom projects or ideas that they want to see come to fruition, you know, we're available, you know, greentechplanet.com and cool. Shop Hemp Tinsels if people wanted to buy some of the products. Our big push and our big reason for doing business is to impact disadvantaged communities. I mean, I came from one, you know, on the north side of Long Beach and you know, understand that the waste ends up in these places. I understand that the jobs don't go to these places.
Right.
And that the community needs help. And so, you know, working with that, we've been, you know, there's a lot of community events, that, a lot of cleanups, a lot of food giveaways. And we were doing some last week that, you know, I just really want to be able to connect with the city on and my team on. And so, you know, if there's any questions, I'd definitely be open.
Cool. Sounds like you guys are doing it right, man. I mean, like, no, you're buying American, you're using American hemp, you're repurposing waste hemp to do this stuff. I mean, you're putting jobs in the community. This is the dream, right? This is what it's all about. Let's get
behind the dream.
Yeah,
bro.
Let's get behind this, people. Come on. I want to send huge thanks to Jordan for coming on the show, and I will have links to Green Tech Packaging in the show notes for this episode, so you can check out all the cool things they're doing over there. And like he said, if you have custom needs and you want to work with Hemp Plastic, they are the company to contact. Now, not to get too political here, but listen to what he was saying about American jobs and working in the community and using American hemp and keeping it all here without any need for petroleum and other gnarly chemicals that are not only bad for the environment, but we even outsource from other countries. I can't think of anything more American than what is going on in the hemp movement right now with companies like Green Tech Packaging, and I'm just happy they're out there. That's about it for this episode. But again, I want to thank Canvas CBD for partnering with us. And don't forget, go to canvasrelief.com, use the code FRIEND15 for 15% off your purchase, and let them know that you want to help them and you think it's awesome that they are supporting ministryofhemp.com. And speaking of supporting ministryofhemp.com, if you like what we're doing here and you think that hemp can probably change the world, head over to Patreon.com/Ministry of Hemp and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. Any amount you give makes you an insider, and it gives you access to early articles, podcast extras, and all kinds of other stuff. But more than that, it helps us get the good word of hemp out to other people. Also, leave us a star rating or a written review on wherever you're listening to podcasts. This show is available anywhere you can download podcasts, and your reviews and star ratings and thumbs up or whatever they have, it really helps put us in front of other listeners. But we don't just do it for listeners either. Here at the Ministry of Hemp, we believe that an accessible world is a better world for everyone. So we have a full written transcript for this episode in the show notes over at ministryofhemp.com. Speaking of ministryofhemp.com, don't forget to check out our latest article on the best CBD pre-rolls of 2020 that I mentioned in the beginning of the show. And if that's not enough, you can always find us on all our social medias at ministryofhemp/ministryofhemp. We're always kicking out great links to quality companies, quality news stories, and good old hemp education. All right, time for me to get out of here, and I like to end the show the same way every week. I like to say, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.